Welcome to Season 3 of E-Commerce Fastlane, Episode 111.
Welcome to E-Commerce Fastlane, the podcast show to help you build, launch, grow, and scale a wildly successful e-commerce company. Listen to real conversations with proven practical strategies and success stories. Learn how to generate more traffic, more sales, more profit, and customer lifetime value for your Shopify store. And now, your host and e-commerce entrepreneur, Steve Hutt.
This episode is brought to you by the team at Push Owl, a leader in web push notifications for Shopify brands. Are you using web push notifications yet as part of your marketing strategy? If not, you're definitely missing out. It's an important tactic that all Shopify brands, regardless of their size, should be implementing today. Thanks to an amazing Push Owl solution, web push notifications are clickable messages that show up on your desktop computer or mobile phone, and with one click, customers come back to your store ready to buy or consume your latest content. And get this, without collecting email addresses, you're able to recover abandoned carts or win back visitors that recently abandoned your store. It's the best of both worlds, shopping cart recovery and browse recovery for those visitors that didn't buy anything and didn't add anything to the cart, but they spent time viewing products on your site. Imagine being able to send push notification broadcasts to all your subscribers or a segment of them with a new collection launch or a flash sale or BFCM or holiday promotions or, you know, just engaging them with your new branded content from your blog. They even have an incredible feature where you can notify customers when a product is back in stock. Never lose shoppers when inventory gets to zero. You can now send automated back in stock web push notifications to bring those interested shoppers back to your site. And Push Owl is Shopify's leading solution for web push notifications. Over 20,000 brands trust their platform for this incredible sales channel. And right now, they're offering a 30-day free trial for all my listeners. So check them out, ecommercefastlane.com/pushowl or pushowl.com and use the code Fastlane and start automating and scaling your marketing today. Well, hey there, it's Steve, and welcome back to the E-Commerce Fastlane podcast. Now, if this is your first time listening, this is an e-commerce show where we have honest and transparent conversations about building and thriving with your store powered by Shopify or Shopify Plus. New episodes are available each week with your favorite podcast player through iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and Spotify. Or you can also sign up online at ecommercefastlane.com and be notified when a new show is being released. Now, my guest in today's episode is Tim Ash, who is an acknowledged authority on evolutionary psychology and digital marketing. He's a sought-after international keynote speaker and the best-selling author of two books. First one, Landing Page Optimization, and more recently, Unleash Your Primal Brain, which I actually just listened to recently on Audible. It's fantastic. We're going to dig into that one for sure. Tim has been mentioned by Forbes as a top 10 online marketing expert and by Entrepreneur Magazine as an online marketing influencer to watch. For 19 years, he was a co-founder and the CEO of SiteTuners at SiteTuners.com and their digital marketing and optimization agency. Tim has helped create over $1.2 billion in value for some amazing companies that I know we all know, Google and Expedia, eHarmony, Facebook, and American Express, and Canon, and Nestle. I mean, there's a massive list here, Symantec, and Intuit, and Humana, and Siemens, and countless direct-to-consumer brands. So exciting to have Tim on today. Busy schedule, but please enjoy my conversation with Tim today. So hi, Tim. Welcome to E-Commerce Fastlane.
Very happy to be here, Steve.
So you've had quite an eventful career, I might add, you know, keynote speaking around the world, writing best-selling books, you run international conferences, I guess, pre-COVID, and now we're doing some virtual events. So tell me a little bit about, as best you can, your entrepreneurial journey so far.
Sure. Well, I've worked in a variety of high-tech companies. When I started university at UC San Diego, my undergraduate majors were in computer engineering and cognitive science. And then I stayed there for graduate school in what would neural networks, or what would now be called deep learning or machine learning or AI. And this was early days. So we didn't have the big data sets that we do now with the internet. So I switched to internet marketing and started my first marketing agency back in the early .com days. And never let go of the tiger's tail. And 25 years later, I decided, you know, running an agency wasn't my highest and best use on the planet. So I decided to focus on what I really enjoy, which is the thought leadership in the form of, as you mentioned, keynote speaking and writing my latest book and spreading knowledge out to people as opposed to working on client accounts.
Right. And so I did mention a little tiny bit at the top of the show, but you know, you've worked with a lot of some really great e-commerce brands, some of the largest brands, I might add. And like, what are some mistakes that you see kind of consistently some of these e-commerce brands are making today?
Well, if we restrict, people have different definitions of e-commerce. So I just want to start there. For some, e-commerce is anywhere, any website that has a checkout, anything where you sell items directly. And for others, it's more restrictive, and I'd say it's a e-commerce catalog. And that's, I think, a more standard definition, if you will. So you sell lots of different items. You have a homepage, category pages, search results pages, and then product detail and so on. It's not a website where there are two or three things for sale and those are only incidental. I don't know, is that a fair definition, or how would you agree with that?
Yeah, no, totally would agree with that, yes.
And so in the case of large catalogs, I would say the common mistakes that I've seen in my career is, one, gratuitous use of motion and wasted real estate on the homepage in the form of giant sliders. Everybody seems to have those.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's a big no-no in my book. I have a whole e-commerce best practices section in my landing page optimization book, and I devote a page to why sliders are an evil that should be immediately removed from your site.
Yeah. Well, you know what, part of it I find too is that it doesn't position the brand well enough. I think with having like motion, and I think when people have a lot of different slogans or taglines or kind of links and things going out to maybe other different sections on the site, they think they're trying to blast all of their bullets out on this highly sought after piece of real estate, versus maybe having a proper positioning statement or something, one thing that's very important, that's key to why someone should click through, or why has someone shown up on this particular website, having one message and one brand image.
Yeah, and I would go further than that. I would say that I'll enumerate the reasons why you shouldn't have a slider on your homepage. The one that you mentioned is by far the most important. Our brains, from an evolutionary perspective, are designed to notice things moving in our visual field. It kind of has a little survival value, if you know what I mean.
Right.
The bear is coming to eat me. I need to know what direction and how big it is, right?
Yeah.
So they are an interrupt. They're the nuclear option. In the face of motion, graphics won't get looked at. And even in the face of graphics, text won't get read. So anything that's graphics or text on your site can't possibly compete with that atomic bomb of a slider on your homepage. And another reason that they're really bad is because it's trying to pretend you have more real estate than you really do. So everybody wants a piece of the homepage, and look, we can add another frame to our slider. Well, great, thanks. So now I have to sit through a longer commercial. Nobody likes to do that on broadcast TV. They certainly don't have the attention span to sit through 5 3-second sliders to make sure they saw every frame of the crap you're trying to throw at them on your homepage.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really an editorial problem. You can't decide what's important, so you're trying to cram it all in there and make everybody happy, except your site visitors that are trying to give you money.
Right. Yeah, totally with you. I do a lot of site audits for the brands that I manage inside Shopify Plus, and that's one of the things I'm definitely in alignment with you. When I see those sliders, that's the first thing I talk about, is we have to position it correctly with one hero image, at least as part of this current quarter. Whatever your content strategy is, or how you're trying to position the brand, let's find the right image and let's find the right call to action, and let's move people through the funnel quickly to what it is that you're trying to sell.
Yeah, well, Steve, I'll go a little further and be more radical. I think that even the notion of a hero shot on the homepage is also inappropriate. It's still a giant waste of real estate, and it's precious real estate. We're talking New York, Hong Kong, London type of real estate at the top of your homepage, right? It's very expensive. So the problem with hero shots is you don't have, usually in a large catalog, one hero product. Now, if you're Apple, that's different. If you're launching the iPhone 12 or 27 or whatever the latest version is going to be, that's a $1 billion launch for you. And so it makes sense to take over the homepage of Apple.com and say, iPhone 12, and that's all it's about. But if you're selling a catalog with hundreds or thousands or tens of thousands of SKUs, chances are even your best-selling product or the one you want to feature isn't going to sell more than 1%. So why are you giving it all that space? I say give the space to permanent category-based navigation. And if you want to have a featured sidebar and have a couple of two, three products on the side, that's fine. But you can't take over the top of the page with even one hero image as far as I'm concerned.
All right. That's definitely noted. I'm going to make a slight pivot over to talking about the product selection. I think that's one thing that I think is really important. I think there's some brands that you know, they look at their website and they're always thinking, should I add more products to my website? Do I have to expand my catalog, or do I remain very niche? So let's talk about that, because some brands, they think that, wow, you know, I they believe that they're the Amazon of their category.
Yes. Oh, that's such an evil phrase.
So I'd love to hear like how you think about this, small to large catalog.
Absolutely. So first I want to me, this is related to information architecture and how you organize your site, your categories and your subcategories. So one of the things that many companies, the mistake that they make in terms of their information architecture is that they have essentially too many niche categories exposed all at once. And, if you've ever seen a flyout menu with dozens of submenu items on it, it's ridiculous, right?
I know.
It happens all the time. That's information overload. Asking for my conscious attention is the hardest thing you can do. So if you want me to read a list of 20, 30 text labels and figure out which one to click on, that's an expensive task. That's asking for my attention. So one thing I would say about information architecture is don't be afraid to go narrow and deep. Make someone click three or four times to get to products. Each one is a narrow choice, though, no more than three to six subcategories. But each click doesn't matter. It's the fact that it gets me closer to my goal. So related to that is the idea of don't expose products at too early in the game. If you're going to throw up all over me and say, here's 300 products, pick one, that's, again, too much work on my plate. So keep your information architecture, your category hierarchy, narrow and deep rather than wide and bushy and exposing too many choices all at once. And don't expose products until that very last step, until you have a manageable set of them to show me. Which also plays into another answer to your question, which is you want to have clear distinctions between your choices. Being the Amazon of your category and saying, look, we have in this subcategory 30 lookalike products. They all kind of look the same. They cost about the same and they have very similar features, but you can have them all. Well, again, that's not doing me any favors. So what you want to do is have clear differences in your product line. Good, better, best. A high-end luxury anchor that you don't expect people to buy, the real thing that makes you the most gross margin in terms of volume and profit margin, and like a cheap alternative so that they don't run away if they're really price sensitive. So you should have three to four or five choices presented on a single screen once you get down to that final result set. So I often encourage our clients when I ran the agency to really cull their product selection and get rid of similar lookalikes.
I see. Now, what about featuring new products on the homepage? As I find a lot of premium themes that are available, even some of the free themes that are out there when people are just getting started, for some reason, they seem to want to use a lot of that real estate to kind of show, specific products that they really want to push. Either it's new or it's overstocked or whatever it is. I'm just curious on your feedback about how you believe a homepage should be designed.
Yeah. So I think that, as I mentioned, there should be a balance between, I guess we'd call permanent navigation and featured stuff.
I see. Okay.
And so you should have tile-based category links. Right. And it's kind of eye chart style. They don't all need to have the same prominence. So the biggest category, you might actually even expose some subcategories within that tile. Smaller categories are smaller and just feature the main category and so on. And then down at the bottom, you might just have text links instead of tiles or even a see more expansion if you have a bunch of miscellaneous garbage that you need to find room for. Don't show all of that at once. And then on the right-hand side, you might have some featured items or our fall collection or our latest stuff or newest or maybe clearance. But the balance of that's important. I would never go below 50% for permanent navigation. In many cases, I've seen it 75 or 80% for permanent navigation. And then that featured column is small down the right-hand side. And again, even in the featured column, you might feature collections of things as opposed to individual items. So the focus should be on permanent navigation. Most people aren't frequent visitors to your site. They're not looking for the latest, unless you're a fashion brand. And even then, your fall collection, it shouldn't take over your whole site. So I'd say keep that stuff to 25% or less on the right-hand side of the homepage.
So let's talk about BFCM and holiday time. I find with social distancing, retail, certainly large retail, making decisions to not be open during BFCM just for a lot of health reasons. And they're pushing a lot of their business online. I find that people are shopping early. I'm worried about supply chain, even the fulfillment partners of FedEx and UPS and United States Postal Service and whatnot. So I just would love to have your kind of on the ground feeling about what can brands or what should brands be doing today as it relates to BFCM and holiday time, and is there anything specific on a website that, or a strategy or a tactic that needs to be implemented, like 100% when it relates to where we're at right now in the world?
Well, I think in terms of holidays or special events, if you're highly seasonal and occasion-based, you should definitely, that's what the featured part is for. So again, on the homepage, if you have the permanent navigation by categories, but here's our Christmas collection or Mother's Day collection or whatever the upcoming occasion is, that's what you use featured for. And then it should be highly curated and not just a grab bag, not just a subset or sprinkling of things you wish you could sell to those people, but actually something relevant, right, and thought through. You know, this is our editors, our buyers have combed the world and they've decided, you know, that this is some unique gift ideas or what have you. And something that has some thought into it and actually feature the fact that you're an editor or a curator of your choices. Again, don't overwhelm with choice and just hope that something sticks because you threw it up against the wall. The other thing that people are mostly concerned with is Amazon has set an expectation. Amazon has set an expectation of delivery time and cost. And that's where if you can do free shipping, and if you can have free shipping on some kind of express option, then they have a reason to work with you as a niche retailer. Otherwise, you know, in New York City or even parts of San Diego where I live, it's 2-hour delivery. I mean, how do you compete with that? Instant gratification. They're closing that gap. So that's another important one. Don't think about your products, but think about those intangibles like delivery time and cost and also access to your people. One of the things that niche retailers have an advantage in is knowledge of their product line. So I encourage you to make your people available in chat, in on the phone, if it's possible, and say, we're experts and we're happy to talk to you and share what we know. It's not like that dehumanizing visit to, say, Home Depot, where it's this giant warehouse store and a few guys running around in orange aprons getting paid minimum wage that don't even know what aisle what you're looking for is on. So you be the expert. You be the value add. Put yourself forward and feature both your small-timedness, not your Amazon-ness, but your small-timedness and your accessibility.
Mm-hmm. So I would totally agree about the being available for customer service wise, like through chat. I've even seen a lot of great solutions now that are, you know, you can go to the Shopify App Store and find some of these solutions, but people are actually doing video now on the product detail pages, almost as you said, this human part of saying, hey, we're here right now. We can offer some kind of a guided selling and actually show some of the products. Sometimes even people working from home, they still have access to a lot of the great products they can show, and or they can click around and co-browse with people. So some really neat solutions that just add that personality to it. I'd also add things like chatbots. I think, you know, people are coming to the website and they want to be able to be routed to finding the answers that they need right now. And if a chatbot can help them, tracking number, hours of operation, do you have any buy online and pick up in store? Is this thing going to make it in time for Christmas? Like these sorts of basic questions, these can be queued up quite quickly from within a chatbot solution. But if you really want to talk to somebody, perfect. Click a button, boom, then you have access to an agent.
Yeah. And also I would add another functionality that I don't see kind of out of the box and setup of e-commerce software is wizards. I'm not talking about anything complicated, but basically a series of light box popovers with 2 to 4 way mutually exclusive choices. You know, ask me a simple question, I'll give you an answer. Kind of like the same way you fill out your tax software. Did you live in the country more than 6 months this year? Yes or no? Well, anyone can answer that, right? So the same kind of idea with the wizard, especially if you have key categories that require complicated decision-making. If I came to your store and I said, hey, what kind of, I want to buy a jogging stroller and I have 2 kids and they're 17 months apart, help me. And you'd say, oh, great. How old are your kids? Okay. And do you go off-road or do you just jog on regular, you know, paths and so on? And is it rainy where you live? And you might ask me 3 or 4 questions and you go, okay, here's 3 different jogging strollers that you should consider. Mm-hmm. And that same knowledge that, again, specialization in you knowing about your product line can be encoded very easily into a wizard. And then you don't overwhelm them with choice. You give them this guided thing. They think they're getting a very customized result. And that has very high conversion from any time we've implemented them for clients.
And I recently interviewed the team over at Octane AI. And so they're a Facebook Messenger bot, and they recently added on functionality in this tool now to offer quizzes, or as you're calling them, wizards, but actually helping ask, and you ask a couple key questions to help filter your way down. Like, they use the skincare example. You know, do you find your skin oily or dry? Click.
Right.
Next question, next question, next question. And you know what? They have Facebook pixels firing for every time you continue down that journey. So there's still some, even though they're anonymous site visitors, and if they're not logged in, you're still able to remarket them because you know how far they went through the journey of answering the right questions.
That's right. And I would say even more, it's market research. So if you build the wizard yourself, and again, it's not that hard. It's light box popovers with questions in them. If you build a wizard yourself, you're collecting market research information. And if you're doing in any kind of intelligent segmented email follow-up, you also know how they answered those questions. So your follow-up email sequences aren't going to be generic. They're going to be totally on target. And they are much more likely to buy after being exposed to those. And then you get aggregated research too when you combine what percentage of people coming to our site and answered it this way. That's also really valuable. Mm-hmm.
So Tim, this show has a diverse range of Shopify entrepreneurs that listen each week. And, you know, from your vantage point, I think it's quite unique. You know, what do you believe direct-to-consumer brands should be working on today? We've kind of went a little bit into it all so far about the holiday season, but just overall, what sort of things can people implement and then have that same momentum carry forward into next year?
Sure. Well, I think one of the huge problems with e-commerce catalogs is that they're completely generic. Everyone's trying to be big. Everyone's trying to say, like, we're the Amazon of our industry, as you mentioned earlier. And the problem with that is you end up having these generic e-commerce store, buy crap from us. And again, what's lost there is not just the knowledge, the deep knowledge, like we were talking about wizards or customer support or product knowledge, but is also any kind of personality. So I think that one of the durable ways that niche retailers can compete is by clearly identifying what they stand for in their tribe. Okay, we're trying to appeal to these people only. So being niche is critical. And then the way to survive is to actually have personality in terms of both your editorial tone and creating what we often develop for clients that we call an origin myth. I was in the world, I saw this problem, and I decided to go slay dragons, and I had adversity along the way, and I overcame them, and now I want to share it with the world. You know, your classical, what's called the hero's journey in storytelling. It's been with us for thousands of years, and it's a very effective story form. So you need that origin myth about your founders, about your business, how you're trying to make the world a better place, because you can't win on price and you can't win on delivery or selection. You can't win on any of those things. So, but you can say, I stand for something, and it either attracts your tribe or it repels people that don't even have a clue. That's okay. So stand for something. Don't try to be generic.
Right. So I always bring this up with brands. And one of the comments I bring up is this conscious capitalism, meaning that, you know what, we're not just taking all of the money and being this faceless giant and hoarding all these profits. I think a lot of buyers today, customers that are on people's websites, they really like, as you said, get behind the cause, understand what the company's all about, what's their vision and their mission, their goals and their values. And then if that can be packaged up, as you call it, the origin myth, we love it, or the hero's journey, that's very interesting to me. But then where's the rest of the money being spent? I manage one brand that like literally plants 10 trees for every garment, or they're donating, you know, money to help, you know, cure blindness or helping people getting glasses. There's so much opportunity out there and people like to get behind that story. So, you know, I might suggest that for those that don't necessarily have a great origin story yet, it might be hard kind of pre-BFCM to get involved in this sort of thing. But man, it's something you really need to think about for Q1 of 21 of how do you position your brand?
Well, I would say that if you don't have an origin story, you need to make one. It's not that you don't have one yet. You can always create one based on your past experience. I was recently doing a boot camp for getting on TV, and I love this phrase they use. Your mess is your message. You don't have to be clean or polished. You have to say out of your adversity, out of your travails and problems is where the idea for this business grew and your mission grew. But dig, you know, there's another friend of mine likes to put it, there's a pony in there somewhere. Find your origin myth. It's there already. You just haven't articulated it yet.
I see. So Tim, we are nearing the end of the show for today, but do you have any closing comments or any takeaways that you would like to leave with our listeners today?
Yeah, absolutely. One of the things I wanted to touch on is you'd mentioned I've written two books. One is the landing page optimization book, and that's about conversion rate optimization, making websites more effective. It's kind of the Bible in the field and has a whole section on e-commerce best practices. But my latest book is called Unleash Your Primal Brain. And this one is available in ebook, audiobook, and pre-release copies from me directly until the official launch in April in paperback. But that one is about evolutionary psychology. And I think one of the mistakes we make as internet marketers is focusing too much on the technology. It's slider this, it's hologram that, it's virtual reality or 360-degree tours tomorrow. That stuff's great, but you still have to influence the human mind. And so I think the fundamental, if you want to be successful as a marketer, is to understand how the mind evolved and how it works and all of the subconscious shortcuts that we take when we make decisions. So I strongly recommend reading my latest book, Unleash Your Primal Brain. You can get info at primalbrain.com about all the different formats.
Perfect. And I actually used one of my Audible points and downloaded your book, and I'm 3/4 through it. And it really was eye-opening for me. And I'm not just saying that because I have the opportunity to interview you today. It was something that I had a cursory knowledge of, but it's quite interesting to understand, you know, as a marketer, there's definitely value in this book to learn as to why people do what they do, because there's history. Literally history of human beings as to why people do what they do. And I think understanding that will help you become a better marketer.
Yeah, and a better person. To be clear, it's not a neuromarketing book. It's not applied to marketing. It's the why behind our evolutionary psychology. So it'll help you in business and marketing and persuasion, leadership, all of that. It'll also help you in personal relationships and your cultural tribes. And it'll help you on a personal development level, understanding how your brain works, how to try to be happy in life, and how to find meaning in being a human animal.
Beautiful. So Tim, I know we spoke offline before recording today, and I understand that you would like to offer the listeners a little bonus. Can you share some of those details?
Yeah, absolutely. If you have an e-commerce store and you do over $1 million a year through your store, I would be glad to, for the first 5 companies, to offer a 30-minute digital strategy discussion. And in order to take advantage of that, just email me. My email is tim@timash.com. And for the subject line, put Steve Hutt.
Okay.
And that way I'll know that it came from this podcast. And I'm only doing the first 5 that qualify. So I suggest if you're interested in this, that you act on it right away.
I bet you those will go quite quickly.
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
Well, as you know, Shopify's mission really is to make commerce better for everyone. And based on our conversation today, it's very clear that, you know, you really are in tight alignment with wanting to help, Shopify commerce brands really to, improve efficiencies, grow revenue and build lifetime customer loyalty. And I just wanted to thank you, for coming on the show today, offering this e-commerce strategy. I think this is fantastic, getting this free strategy for 30 minutes for the first five qualifying customers. And, I know you can offer a tremendous amount of value to scaling Shopify brands. And just want to thank you for taking time today. Definitely, I know you're a busy guy, sharing your knowledge and your vision and just at the end of the day, just giving back to the Shopify kind of entrepreneurial ecosystem.
Yeah, it's been my pleasure, Steven. And just on a final note, if anybody wants a brutally frank, your baby is ugly review of your website, I do those formally as well. And you can get information at timash.com. 100% guaranteed. I've done several hundred, never had to give money back. So if you want a hard look at your website and to diagnose all the problems and plug the holes, I will tell you the emperor has no clothes. So check out timash.com.
Beautiful. Once again, thanks, Tim, for coming on the show.
My pleasure, Steve.
This episode was brought to you by Push Owl, Shopify's leading web push notifications app and the only Shopify Plus approved certified app partner in its category. Browser-based web push notifications push your retention marketing and conversion rate optimization to the next level because you can re-engage store visitors without the need of an email address. Send web push notifications right to their smartphone or desktop by just using the browser. And the great thing about Push Owl is they're used by over 20,000 Shopify stores and more than 600 Shopify Plus brands. So you know their solution has the security, privacy, speed, and reliability that Shopify Plus brands come to expect. Take their platform for a spin now, 30 days for free on their paid plan. Head on over to ecommercefastlane.com/pushowl and use the code Fastlane when you activate. Well, that's it for today's episode. I'd like to thank you, a loyal listener of E-commerce Fastlane. It's my hope that this podcast is offering you a ton of value through growth strategies, tactics, and exclusive insider tips on the best Shopify apps and marketing platforms, all with my personal goal to help you build, launch, grow, and scale with Shopify. Thanks for investing some time today and listening to the show. I'm so proud and excited that you have a growth mindset and are a constant learner. I truly appreciate you and your entrepreneurial journey. Enjoy the rest of the week and keep thriving with Shopify.